Awesome Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza and
Rodrigo Torres
on the Wheels of Steel. Remember that?
Yeah,
the old DJs. We have Trapper John here on the Wheels of Steel. Hey, how you guys doing there? We got traffic right now.
Traffic and hit you guys with the weather in a little bit.
Fool, remember
what's up,
Theo?
The brother Theo from Houston?
Hell no, Theo from 92.3 The Beat.
Oh, dude, Filipino dude, right, with that brother voice?
Yeah, but I was gonna say that everybody thought that he was black for a long time.
I never knew he was black. I never knew he was Filipino.
Remember, he'll show up at night and go, "What's up, everybody? This is Theo right here. We're gonna have some love songs," and then he'll play some love songs.
Right.
And for a long time, Theo, "I just love you, Theo." Women calling, "I just love you, Theo."
Oh, dude.
Then you find out he's like some 5'3" Filipino. Yeah, but still love him.
Oh, yeah. But you know how I found it? Well, the only reason I found out is because what's his name mentioned him? Edwin in his act.
Lot of people people just change their voice, become a whole character.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's how it used to be, right?
And because what's with that guy, that Beer Run Bobby?
Oh, yeah.
He sounds like Wolfman Jack. Yeah, we're going to do them down.
Totally, dude. Like a truck driver voice and shit.
I just used my voice. Eh?
You always liked your voice or no?
I never listened to it.
Oh, yeah, I hate listening to my voice, dude.
But when I listen to it, I sound like it's like a deaf person talking.
Before or now, dude?
Now.
Nah, it's cool, dude.
Clear. Now I listen to it when I go over my set because I record my set every day on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I play it over and over. That's how I memorize things. But now, man, when I always thought my voice was very retarded.
But just like, what, they can't understand you?
No, but the way it sounds, like, "Hur."
Yeah. Not like, it sounds retarded. Or did you get that from other people or just from you? Like,
from me, the first time I heard it, was like, "Ew."
Oh, dude, the first time I heard my voice recorded, I'm like, "Who the fuck is that fat fool right there?"
I could hear him breathing burritos.
Oh, dude, that's the breath, dude. It's like how Tony Soprano breathes in between words and shit, dude.
I remember I was watching Family Guy, and they were showing Ellen DeGeneres, and they show her voice. And there were little fishes coming out.
It's all.
Yeah, man. What's up, fool? We have so much to talk about in less than an hour and 20 minutes.
So much to talk about, so little time.
So little time, man. First of all, man, I'm glad to be back. I had a flu.
A little out of commission for a couple of days.
Man,
huh?
It happened on Monday night. Monday night, all of a sudden, I was laying on the couch, and I felt really, really cold. But it wasn't even cold outside. It was hot. And then my joints started aching. Started with my kneecaps. And I kept thinking, man, I must have walked too much. My fat ass out of shape.
All sore.
And all my joints were sore. And then I laid down in the bed and I said, "Nah, I didn't tell nobody anything." But then in the middle of the night, it started hurting more. And then I took some NyQuil pills. Then, fool, I got really hot under the bed, really hot.
A fever.
I had great balls of fire, bro.
That's how hot you were, dude?
Dude, my balls were so hot. Hot. I sweated through my shirt and into the blanket and into the sheets.
Damn. On the mattress.
I don't know what was going on. So I was out of commission, man. I felt like what a heroin addict feels like before he gets to heroin. I don't understand how. I guess when you're on heroin, once you're hooked, you're not getting high no more. Huh? You're just fixing your sickness. Huh?
Yeah, well, and you don't have your medicine, you get dope sick.
Man, dude, I know, like, every time I rubbed my head, I was tapping my head, it felt like I was hitting myself with a bat.
You just feel everything inside?
It was painful, man.
When's the last time you've been this sick?
A long time ago. I don't think I ever got the flu in a long time. I think Tucson, one time on the road, I was very sick, and I remember I was boiling hot. And I kept putting on wet rags on my head.
To cool down?
To cool down, and then they just were getting really, the ice was melting. The napkin was getting warm. Nothing was working, man. But I haven't ate since Monday night.
Yeah, you look a little slimmer, dude.
I've had yesterday at Dodger Stadium, I ate a burger. I ate a burger, man, and I left the game by the third inning.
Really?
I went over there for my Valenzuela shirt and took off. And the night before that, I ate a I don't know what I ate. Before that, I ate an oatmeal with oranges. That's it.
That's it?
And I didn't even finish the oatmeal.
And what are you, like, hitting it with liquid soups or anything?
Nothing.
Nothing? Just not just, even eating?
No, just fluids? Drinking water. Water, and of course, Mexicans got to have Sprite.
This will bubble it up.
And orange juice.
And what helped you beat it, dude? Just time and rest?
Time and rest.
Yeah, you know you're fucked up when the NyQuil ain't working, dude.
Nothing was working, man. I don't know how I got this sick, but I wouldn't recommend it to my enemies.
It really could knock you down then, huh?
Yeah, man. It was, man. Just don't like feeling cold. And I keep putting myself like a little-ass ball.
Oh, like what, fetus style?
Yeah, but I'm down to 274 pounds, bro. I lost 6 pounds. I was 280. I'm working another 27, then I go back to 250.
That'll be
then I'll stop.
It'll be a nice little goal, dude.
250, bro. I could put on a waist 38 and take it off without unbuttoning it.
Because I'm a 38, dude, but sometimes when when I go up or whatever, you can tell I get more red marks, dog, in my waist.
I know what you mean.
The creases.
When I was at 280, like I was a long time ago, right? Like Monday. But I was heavier than that. I was at 300, I think, 296. Fuck. I was breaking belt buckles, bro.
Coming out the seams.
You know how many belts I broke? 4 in 1 year.
Just like where the little hole is?
No, where the little hole is, where the buckle is.
It rips snapping.
Because I had those belts that were reversible. Uh-huh. You want to wear a black belt, you want to wear a brown belt. You just switch the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Flip but it that over. Doesn't work for big guys.
Hell no, nah, dog.
But you busted, dog.
It's like a failed tourniquet, dog.
And of course, with heavy weight comes hemorrhoids.
Ow.
And your legs falling asleep.
Fuck, what's next, dog?
No, I'm so fat. I sit down, and like I'm playing Madden, and I have my hand, my elbows on my legs, just leaning, full, painful. I fall asleep.
Damn, dude. That's hilarious, dog.
What the heaviest you been?
Dude, like... At the brink
when
you, of
when
like...
You're trying to grow the mustache, huh?
When I fell off the ladder, dude? Oh, my God. I was like at 280, 282 right there, dog.
Whoa.
Yeah, dog. Just fucking eating like an outlaw.
How tall are you?
5'11".
So, yeah, that's heavy, man.
It's fucking easy.
What are you now?
Right now, 269. And I, dude, like in the last fucking couple months, I gained like 20 pounds, dog, just eating and chilling. Because I haven't been exercising. I fucked up my ankle, dog.
How?
Dude, going up that fucking hill, and the goddamn fool, don't fall, dog. But
I thought he would drop the elbow on you.
WrestleMania was Sunday, dog. I went up the hill, dude, and like in between this, like after it rained, I put my foot down, dude, and I rolled my ankle, dog.
Damn,
dude, I was sitting there just socking the ground for 10 minutes, dog.
What's up, fool? I'm sweating right now, just sitting here, man. I'm not doing anything.
The coldness
in the AC is inside. I mean, the AC is on. I had an audition I had to cancel. Not like I was going to get it.
Oh, this fool.
Yeah, man.
And how was that Dodger game, fool?
Oh, man, the Dodger game, man, there was a fucking idiot behind me. Kept yelling, go Dodgers! All gangsta, right?
Before the third inning?
Before the third inning.
Oh,
bro.
My God.
Go Dodgers! Right behind my ear, right? It didn't really bother me that much because I do a lot of yelling, too. I was yelling out, Janikowski, you suck!
Be heckling those outfielders over there at the left pavilion, huh?
And so anyways, Lisa told that guy to shut up, politely, of course. Then his mom was right on the side. He's sick. He's autistic. And I said, listen, lady, I don't care if he likes drawing.
Teach that fool some sign language.
Yeah, man. But he was like yelling out like retarded stuff, like, and then like, yeah. He like, was more gay than autistic to me.
That sounds like Tourette's, no, fool?
I don't know, man. It sounds like the devil. Because the devil has the same voice, bro. That kind of gay voice. Oh my God.
Killing me, dog.
Oh yeah, dude. God, so he kept yelling out, God Dodgers! Over and over, dude, behind my ear. God Dodgers!
This is first game, fool, or what?
And then some big-ass fool shows up, bro. I understand, man. If you love your job, like, I love my job, you know? I don't consider it a job. It's a dream job. You know, I'm very fortunate to have a job where I could just make people laugh and then go home. But there was a guy who showed up, and he's probably a chef or a sous chef. The fool had a knife. He had a sharpening tool and a knife tattooed on his neck.
Damn.
He's serious about chefing.
This was a sous chef.
He showed up with mad food, bro.
Really?
Making me sick.
Like?
He had nachos, bro, with roast beef in it.
Oh, that's a little too much, no?
Yeah, he had roast beef, shredded roast beef, cheese on top of it, onions, jalapenos.
Where'd he come from, the hat?
I don't know. And then he had his side meal. His real meal was pieces of brisket, bro, cut up brisket with barbecue, macaroni and cheese, mashed potato.
Give it up for Lucille.
Yeah. He came with three chicks. And those chicks were retards, bro. They were talking to me like we're friends. Like,
do tell.
Like, there was some people. First of all, man, there was a lot of people wanting to get pictures, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting in the middle aisle, right? These people didn't give a fuck, bro. They said, excuse me. And then I stood up and took a photo with them. Yeah, man, you want some flu sickness? Come on over.
So they didn't care? They're all stomping on the people?
Yeah, stomping on them. And I took a photo with them. Man, Pavilion, man. They got to take care of it. I know they're never going to put in money in Pavilion, but they got to at least make it so you wouldn't have to sit so close to somebody.
Yeah, you're right there, dude.
And if a lot of people my weight, my fatness show up on that one aisle, they're going to be no more room. There's people taking over two seats.
Oh, yeah, dude. And you don't even have an armrest, dude. Just no bench. Armrest.
No armrest. No place to put your cup or nothing. The Dodgers won. So when I was taking a photo with this guy and his son, the chick said next to me, you guys just missed a home run. See, this guy cares about a home run right now? He took a picture with me.
Hell no, nah, dude. He wants
a selfie,
dog. He just
farted on your face. What did he care?
He wants a hashtag, Felipe Esparza, though.
I ran into that guy from Multicultural Art, that guy Multicultural, whatever his name is, mm-hmm. The photographer, you know him?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was there with his son. That fool said, you ever caught a baseball here? Nah, man. That fool took his son's ball and gave it to me, bro.
Shut up, dog.
And I said, bro, you're going to give me your son's ball? I don't want your son's ball. He has a bunch of them.
Like caught ones?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They showed up for batting practice.
Oh, okay.
So I took the ball. On the way out of the game, by the fourth, fifth inning, man, I saw this couple coming in all late with two kids. This couple, and they were just like, first of all, that's late, huh?
Hell yeah, you ain't gonna get no jersey.
Two babies, bro. One was like 2 years old, and one she was holding the other one. And I felt bad for them, you know. I said, you guys didn't get a shirt. So I gave them my Fernando Valenzuela shirt, the free one.
The little jersey?
Yeah. They're fucking, cool. You know, it's a free shirt. You know, I remember one time I got there late and I didn't get a
bobblehead?
No, the Vince Scully microphone, remember?
Oh, yeah, dude.
This guy gave it to me.
Oh,
shit. He gave it to Isaac. And they were his sons.
Really, fool?
But he had an extra one, so he gave it to him. So return the favor 2 years later.
Redistributing the happiness. Hey, I was going to tell you, one thing that used to bug me a lot about Dodger games when people get the bobbleheads is those fools that show up with 20 tickets, they get 20 bobbleheads, and then they leave.
Hey, bro, they're collectors.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't hate on that, but I wasn't looking at it that way. I was looking at the fucking 20 people that could have sat in those seats, dog.
But there's also people there who don't buy the ticket, but they'll stand out there. Once you get your bobblehead, dog, they'll give you $5 for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that too, dude. I don't want to sell. I've never sold any of my bobbleheads. I still have them.
Yeah, but people are like from other states want them.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Like, I would like to have other bobbleheads from other teams.
Other teams?
Well, I would like to have my little General Strawberry doing coke.
He doesn't have a bat. He has a straw.
Man, when I was watching the old Dodgers, the old ones, like from 79, 80, 81, 82, with all the best rookies of the year, which were Rick Honeycutt, Steve Howe, Fernando Valenzuela, Steve Sachs.
Oh, shit.
Mike Piazza, and then Eric Karros.
I forgot
about
it.
All in a row. All in a row, rookie of the years, right?
Wow, dude.
It reminds me of my other.
And Hideo Nomo.
And Hideo Nomo, yes.
Raul Mondesi.
Yes. He was number seven. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro.
Mondesi.
So I remember.
The arm of death, huh?
So I remember, man, I used to have this old bit that nobody got. I used to do it at Wild Coyote in Montebello back in the 90s when I first started doing stand-up comedy, like in 97, 98.
Okay.
And I remember that. I do the joke right now. I remember my drug dealer, he cut me off, man. He said, listen, motherfucker, stop fucking calling me. I'm at my son's Little League game. You know, I'm at the fucking my son's Little League game. If you want it, just show up, right? He cut me off. First, he was at church. He didn't return my phone call because I want to buy like a half an eight ball so I could just do it all up. Amen. And I haven't slept in 2 days.
Damn.
So the bet was, he said, I'm at my son's Little League game. So fuck, bro. I came out of left field like Stephen Hall. I came out of left field like fucking Steve Howe in Field of Dreams, bro. Damn. You know that Steve Howe was one of the first guys to get arrested with cocaine?
Back in the day.
Yeah, a big cokehead, bro. So anyway, now everybody got it. So then I changed it to Daryl Strawberry.
And then it started kicking it?
A little bit of laughs. But then I just dropped the whole joke, bro. I couldn't find another loser ball player to come up with. But I thought that was hilarious, dog. I came out of left field like Stephen Hall in Field of Dreams, tweaking.
This fool.
If you sell it, I will come. What's your favorite baseball movie? I don't know. You like baseball?
Yeah, I like baseball, dude.
The Natural.
That's a good one with Robert Redford. But it has to be between The Sandlot. I like The Sandlot. But, this is a parody. The one with the Bob Uecker's the fuck for the Indians and Wild Thing.
Yeah, Wild.
But Major League.
Major League's badass.
Yeah, I like the voodoo dude.
Fuck you, Jubu.
Yeah, no, he was badass. I like that movie because they fucked around a lot. It was a comedy, dog.
I ran into the Asian guy that was in that movie. The Asian guy?
Yeah.
When Hideo Nomo was pitching, he said, he's my best friend.
Really, dude?
Sure he is, bro. My one has to be, there's a lot of them, bro. I would have to say The Natural, bro.
The Natural?
Yeah. Because it's hardcore, bro. Because he goes, you're going to be the best player in the whole wide world? I'm going to be the best player that ever lived. I still don't know why she shot him.
What's up with that shit, dude? I never understood that movie.
Do you know?
Give it up for Aaron.
Well, it's based on a real person that happened to.
Yeah?
Like a real player that happened to. Forget who.
But did he come back later on and play?
I don't know that he did. Oh.
This is what I thought. I thought that he was shot because he embarrassed that other baseball player in the train when they were having he struck him out in the train was supposed to be Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
So I thought it was that, but man, that fucking scared the shit out of me, man. Like some girl gonna walk up to me after the show, you're gonna be the greatest comedian of all time. Fuck yeah.
Dude. It sucks to talk about crazy shit like that, but you go, that dude from Pantera got fucking shot and killed on stage. I mean, you know, still entertainment, but dude, John Lennon, people are crazy, dude. You know what I mean?
Speaking of John Lennon, that lady, Rosie, just passed away last week.
Angel Baby.
Angel Baby. Angel Baby. Ooh, I love you. She was 14 when the song came out, which ended up being John Lennon's favorite song. I didn't even know that.
Really, dude?
Yeah, he recorded it, and I went to YouTube to find it, and I found it. And he goes, this is one of my favorite songs, then. Rosie, wherever you at, this is for you.
That's a badass song, though, dog.
Yeah, a lot of people covered it.
Oh, dude, that's an awesome song.
Also, Armani, right? another person passed away, the person who taught Friend of Venezuela the screwball, Bobby Castillo.
He's from the Dodgers organization.
Yeah, he died on Monday.
Really?
R.I.P.
Oh, and you know who died today, right?
Who?
Don Rickles, fool.
Don Rickles.
Yeah, dog.
Fuck that guy, bro.
Why? Talk to me, dog.
Because he would have laughed if I would have said that right now. He was a bad motherfucker, dog.
Oh, that old man had balls.
Dog. People don't understand how good he was in Casino.
Oh, my. Oh,
when
shit.
When they're fucking him up with that phone.
Oh, dude. Fucking Joe Pesci loses it, dog, because he didn't want to give him more money, huh?
He was bad, dude.
Yeah, but Rosenthal told him to cut him off.
He was bad because he went the distance, you know? He didn't stop. He just kept doing it. And, like, he one of those guys I feel like, you know, like, he didn't feel like I don't need a sitcom.
No, it's funny, fool.
He started with a Rat Pack, fool.
Yeah,
he
was like, yeah.
Here's my Don Rickles story. That I heard from somebody else and is out there, man. Don Rickles was performing somewhere. Don Rickles would perform on the stage, and a lot of the Rat Pack would go watch him all the time, but they would just heckle him. They'll really? Go heckle him, bro.
Like Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra will go fuck
Joey
with him.
Joey Bishop and shit.
Throw off his act, but he was too sharp. He goes. I can't say nothing right now, man. There's a hoe in Vegas waiting for me, you know, in the desert. So this is Don Rickles walks up to Sinatra, you know, and with a date, and his date is sitting down somewhere, and Don Rickles comes up to him and goes, "Hey, Frank Sinatra, I'm here with a date. I'm trying to impress her, you know. Would you mind stopping by and saying hello to us? You know, if it's not too much trouble, come say hello to us." He goes, "Oh, fucking Don." You know, so he goes, "All right, I'll go over there when I get a chance." So Don Rickles with his day sitting down, he goes, "Hey, Don, how you doing? Fucking Sinatra, leave me the fuck alone, will you? Always fucking bothering me."
So it's a good one, though. He set his ass up, Papa. Very sharp, that man.
This guy, everywhere I go, this fucking Goomba is following me around.
Fucking kitty.
That's the best, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. He's badass, dude.
His balls are.
Yeah, he was a good roaster, too, before, you know, the roasting got all crazy and, you know, all modern.
Before they were giving roasters titles, bro, like Roast Master General.
Oh, yeah, man. He was a good one. And he was the one that was like, he got up on race, too, back in the day. Because he's a little Jewish man, dude, you know? Well, I mean, back when he was young.
On Leno, man. I remember he was sitting down one time, and there was a black person sitting next to him. And he's, like, jabbing with Jay Leno or whatever, just talking. And then he looks over. He goes, "I speak black, too, man. I have no money."
Little old man was fucking something else, huh?
And he was still performing, man. The last time I heard Don Rickles performing was 4 years ago at the San Manuel Casino. He opened up for Joan Rivers.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I seen it on the billboard.
Killing it, huh?
Yeah, dude.
And Joan Rivers still solid, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man.
Go
ahead.
I said, like, I never seen either of them. The one wish I would.
I've never seen them.
The only one I mean, one of my favorite comedians ever, not that everybody should know, but is, what's her name? Phyllis Diller, dude. I wish I would have seen her. At least some, you know. I thought she was funny, dog.
She's funny, dog. Her jokes.
Funny, dog.
Her jokes. Hilarious. Live on. People tell Phyllis Diller jokes without even knowing it's a Phyllis Diller joke.
Timeless, awful.
Timeless. Like, you ever talk, like, half of the mama jokes are Phyllis Diller jokes.
Yeah, dude.
Half of the mama jokes are Ronnie Dangerfield jokes.
Yeah, dude. And then, like, always cutting on the husband, too.
Always cutting on the husband.
That's when the woman finally stepped up and had a voice, dude.
And she was, like, she would dress extravagant. You know, like, Natasha Leggero?
Yeah.
The way she dresses.
Elegant and shit.
All elegant. Yeah, she started that.
With the gloves and the long cigarette.
Because she knew that she was not attractive, but she would just throw it out there.
Yeah, it's funny, dude. Somebody said when she started comedy, she was like 36 or maybe 39. She had like 7 kids or something. Like, you know, from like 2-3 years old up until like 7 or 8. And what, there's a soap star that's supposedly her daughter, right?
Don Rickles has a daughter, too, that does stand up. Dude, she looks just like him.
She's bald.
Yeah, her name is Lana Wrinkles.
Really?
Nah, I made it up.
Oh, this.
No, she performed at the Laugh Factory.
Really,
Mindy. Mindy Rickles.
Really?
Yeah.
I never
knew. I met her before. I did a couple of shows with her on Thanksgiving at the Laugh Factory.
Really, dude?
Really nice.
Really? That's awesome.
And she's funny, too.
Like, their dad are totally different.
Dude, let me tell you, man. I wouldn't compare them. Because it's hard, dude. When your dad's the king, like, how many kids that are Richard Pryor's kids funny?
Well, dude.
Rain Pryor.
Dude, that's a hard act to follow, dog.
It is, bro. Don Rickles, man, like, think about it, bro. How many presidents this fool saw?
And roasted her at the correspondence dinner and shit, dude. Grips, dude. From even probably Kennedy and beyond, or even, like, before that, too, huh?
Don Rickles, man, if he'd been healthy, he probably would have roasted the shit out of Trump.
Oh, dude, I'm sure he probably had some good ones to say, dude, or said them. Because he's like 90, right? Yeah.
90.
Yeah, he's all George Burns style, dude.
That's another guy, man, that I didn't find funny.
The only thing I knew about that little old man was the glasses funny. And the cigar.
You want to find George Burns funny, you got to go to YouTube and find those shows with his wife. Oh, my God, dude. Just the perfect timing. Impeccable timing.
And who's his wife? Like, is she another comedian or what? Comedian?
She's a comedian. I don't know her name, but say it again.
Gracie Allen.
Yeah, she was saying, say goodnight, Gracie.
Really, dude? I just seen him in those couple movies. What's that? Forgot what those movies were.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there you go. That's all I remember.
Oh, God, book two. Oh, God, book one. Oh,
yeah,
God.
I was a little kid. That's all I knew. The Man 70s. With the Cigar. Yeah.
I used to have a paper book of Oh, God. Because when I was in elementary school, they used to have a one of those school public, those
library. Weekly reader?
No, one of the bookmobile.
Oh, yeah, they show up at
and the. And show up to your class.
For riff?
School, for riff. And you could rent out books. And I remember they had a Saturday Night Fever picture book, an Oh God book, and a Grease one. And let me tell you, man, anybody out there, if you have the Saturday Night Fever picture book, let me know how much it is because I want to buy it. Let me tell you about this Saturday Night Fever book. On the corner, on the right-hand corner, no, left-hand, right-hand bottom corner, there's a picture of a little square box of John Travolta. And if you flip the pages, like real fast, like, brrr, you could see him dancing.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's out there, man. It is a badass book.
That's pretty cool, dude.
How many movies with Don Rickles in? Millions, huh?
Rips, dude. He's one of the ones I remember seeing him was the Mad World. The one that had everybody in there, dude.
That's a funny ass movie. The Three Stooges are in it.
Yeah, dude. All the classics in there, dude. Remember that, dude?
Jackie Gleason. Not Jackie Gleason. That other dude, what's his name? Sid Caesar.
Sid Caesar, dude.
And Jonathan Winters. And a lot of old fools.
Yeah, dude.
The other guy, too, Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett, dude.
That movie is funny, man. And it's all based on they're looking for a treasure, right?
Yeah, it's on a whole little like a.
It's long, man. You got to really dedicate some time to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get some shout-outs, bro.
Yeah,
before
man.
Before we forget, people start crying. Hey, I didn't get the fucking shout-out.
Here's some Kleenex.
Let's see right here, man. So, you have any Don Rickles albums?
No, I don't. I wasn't really too much of a fan of him. Just on the roast, and I know his act was kind of like, you know, like, pick apart, you know, pick on people, you know, like the races, the Chinese guy here, you know. How about I'm a Jew, or, you know, the black guy.
But it was good, though.
Oh, yeah. He was originator
not
of that.
Not that guy.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, dude. He was originator of that type of style.
And people say it's all riff, but let me tell you about riff. It's all riff, but the punchlines are written at home, but you don't know who's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I bet you he read the newspaper every day, huh?
Oh, yeah, to stay sharp, dude, on his little current events and stuff.
You read the newspaper?
Yeah. Well, I just go online now, opposed to how I do it, but I always check the LA Times and the New York Times, see what's cracking with the angry orange. His administration.
The Angry Orange.
Okay.
Here we go, dog. Okay, people. Tonight, I'll be in Albuquerque. There's a couple of tickets left. If you're here in Albuquerque, we're here in Albuquerque.
Mer.
We're here with Larry Bubbles Brown. That's probably what I want to mention this because only like 10 tickets left. Embarrassing. Next week, Houston and Baton Rouge. Yes, we're with the Mike Epps show. April 21st and 22nd, St. Louis and Milwaukee. Dude,
what
let me
up?
Tell you about how hard it is to book a flight from fucking to Milwaukee and St. Louis, okay?
Go for it.
I had to fly to Chicago. We're going to have to fly to Chicago first.
Okay.
That was the first one. 4-hour layover to catch a plane to Milwaukee. So I was thinking about maybe we should just rent a car. And then drive to Milwaukee for 1 hour.
How far is Milwaukee from
1 hour.
Then let's just do that.
So now we find another flight that'll keep us in a layover for an hour and a half.
So beat that, right? It's up to you, dude. I'm down for whatever, fool.
But that's crazy. So we're going to be in St. Louis with Mike Epps. And coming in May, we have Colusa, California. Colusa Casino, Cinco de Mayo. Also, Tempe Improv and Urban Improv. Okay. Also, shout out to Shanice Martinez from her boyfriend. Shanice Martinez, your boyfriend. By the way. Oh, that's it, bro.
Shout outs.
Shout outs are done.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. So, you guys might have heard already, but when we were in Detroit, shout out to Detroit. We didn't get to see much, but it's a beautiful city.
Yeah, dude.
You could throw a rock to Canada. This is what happened to us. We get to Canada. We almost got to Canada.
We're right at the bridge, dog.
We get to Detroit, and our Lyft driver.
Shout out to Larry.
Shout out to Larry. Larry Scary. Our Lyft driver took a wrong fucking turn, and he ended up on the fucking bridge that's going to go to Canada.
And this guy's from Detroit.
He's from Detroit.
You know that fool got high before
his Google Maps took him to this place called I would say it's like the what is that thing when you die, you're in limbo?
Purgatory.
We're in the purgatory of Canada and United States of America. He drove us into a lot. Somehow he took a wrong turn, or Google Maps took him to a wrong turn, and we ended up in this place where there's a gas station and truck stops, and everybody here at this area is going to Canada. We didn't know that. Everybody in this lot is going to Canada. So what happened, bro? You went over there to find out? What did they tell you?
They told us that we had to wait for the people that control the bridge, that have the contract with the bridge, and we have to get escorted out, and it can take anywhere from a half hour to 2 hours for them to come and get us out of there. We're at the toll booth, remember, to go to Canada, and he had a backup, and the person wasn't letting him out.
Asshole.
But then there was three other people that came later. Remember that one brother that looked like DMX? That was they took the wrong turn, too, because of their little apps.
So we're stuck in this place waiting for an escort to go back, and then that brother showed up all high. This black guy shows up smelling like marijuana.
He wasn't having it.
He wasn't having it, man. He didn't know where the fuck he was.
He reminded me of one of the brothers in Onyx, not DMX. He was all pissed, fool.
You're talking about Sticky Fingers.
Exactly, dog. Uh-huh. He has a little thing to the side, man. What's going on over here,
he
man?
He was trying to find a way out in his car. He kept coming back.
There was no way out. And remember, we went to the convenience store that was inconvenient, and if we couldn't even buy anything, or else we'd have to go to Canada?
They gave us a paper they filled out. And the paper you filled out, it wrote like everything in this gas station was export.
Yeah, it all had like no duty.
There was no duty. It was export. Like gas, coffee, water, anything you buy there, it's part of Canada now.
Yeah, you get taxed from there or whatever.
You get taxed. So we couldn't eat nothing there. Even if we were hungry, we couldn't buy nothing because it's all export. Like it's I don't know. I can't explain what it is.
Neither can I, dude.
But we cannot buy nothing. And we couldn't buy no gas because it's part of Canada now.
Yeah, I guess it's some weird way if you're headed to their country and there's no turning back except for that little loophole waiting for the bridge company to take us out of there, dude. And remember, we were thinking about walking out of there. There's no walking out.
We're trying to walk out of there, man. There was no way out of there. We're trying to figure out a way to get out and then catch another lift to take us out back to America. And the other guy said, well, you could drive to the bridge and tell them you're in a mistake, and they'll let you turn around right there, but they're going to be pissed off.
Yeah, because we didn't have no passports or nothing, and that was going to be an issue, dude.
Imagine that, dog. We would have been stuck even longer.
Oh, my God, dude. And for some reason, I was going, my whole thing, I didn't want to get late to the show, but I was thinking for some reason, dude, we're going to be there for 3 or 4 hours, dog. But still, we were there for a while and kind of, you know, held us back a little bit, but whatever.
So we get out of the United States Customs and Canada limbo, and we go to the show. Now, this is where things get crazy. Not for us, but for Mike Epps.
What's going on, y'all?
We're doing our thing. We're performing. There's a fucking kangaroo backstage. A kangaroo.
Yeah, there was two, but the little Joey was asleep.
Shout out to Exotic Zoo in Detroit. Exotic Zoo in Detroit. It's just a random guy who owns two kangaroos, a big old python, a couple of rare birds, and he rents them out for birthday parties. Yeah, birthday parties. Oh, and he has one of those big birds, ostrich probably.
Yeah.
This is Detroit. It's fucking cold. So just this big old kangaroo backstage named Darwin. Darwin.
I couldn't believe my eyes, fool.
I never seen a kangaroo up close, man.
Never.
But I got next to him, so I take a selfie, and I took a selfie with him, right? And then I posted on my page, You should have seen the shitstorm I
the
got.
The outrage.
The outrage I got for having that kangaroo backstage eating a banana with a trainer. I guess people don't like black trainers.
His handler, huh?
Or his handler. So, first of all, I felt bad for the kangaroo being backstage because he's an animal, you know, and I'm sure he's afraid. He never seen this Mexican guy with black long hair. He didn't see Rodrigo with his 270 pounds.
69.
You know, 69 now. And I felt bad, but I still took a selfie because we live in a selfie world.
Hell yeah.
So I took a photo with him. I put it on Instagram. The shitstorm I got. People were like tagging PETA.
Yeah, dude, I seen that.
How cruelty to animals. But for no one mentioned those 50 children missing in D.C., by the way. But they're like, oh, you're cruelty. How can you do this? I got tired of fighting, man. I said, you know, fuck you, asshole. I'm vegan too, you piece of shit. What the fuck are you talking about? Your fucking page is private, asshole.
I know. I hate that, dude.
So I let it go, right? And I didn't know what else happened. So we left the show before it ended like we always do. Fucking, I Google exotic zoo, and man, Mike Epps brought the fucking kangaroo on stage.
At the end of his set, huh? And he got it, huh, fool?
He brought the kangaroo on stage, and a bunch of people were jumping around, like all hip-hop style with the kangaroo.
They were all jumping,
and Mike Epps is holding the fucking kangaroo on the leash, and the kangaroo backslaps his ass.
Yeah, he takes a swipe at him, huh?
And then he runs off the stage, and everybody's jumping around. He took the pace down, too. They really attacked him.
Well,
he had to donate money to kangaroo sanctuaries.
Yeah, dude. And that, oh, man, that's crazy, dude, because all the followers you have, but I mean, it's,
the people who are talking shit are not my followers.
Yeah, but it's like, I just like, you have fame and stuff, but it's like, God damn, people just latch on and try to talk shit. I'm like, but they're really not doing anything bad to the animal. They're feeding him bananas. He's chilling. It's not like you're sitting there throwing rocks at him, fool. Come on, dude. He's not starving, dude.
He was happy, bro.
Yeah, he was chilling. I mean, I didn't get too close. If you all want to see that selfie, I got mine on my Facebook page.
You still have it up?
Yeah, bro.
Man, but that was crazy.
Because the guy told me, that the handler told me that he's all, don't worry about them swiping you. It's cool. Because if he's going to do something bad to you, they'll back up and they'll kick you with their hind legs. That's where you got to watch out.
Because his tail is basically his third leg.
Yeah, dude. And, dude, that was a thick-ass tail. That shit looked like a snake.
It's a beautiful animal, huh?
Oh, dude, it was cool. Like you said, I never thought about it, but, yeah, it does look like a big rat.
Dude, kangaroos are like a big rat. Marsupial.
Yeah, dog.
Bro, what a beautiful animal. But I got to say, he looked terrified. And he was terrified backstage. Imagine on stage with thousands of people screaming.
Yeah, it's freaky, dude, because they got eyes, dude. You know what I mean? Who knows? Ears, dog. Yeah, dude. It's overwhelming.
And kangaroos
and loud.
Are prey animals, right? So they're always scared.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm sure they get their things in. There was that one video that went viral with trying to get a dog or some shit like that, and the dude fought him off. But yeah, mostly.
Yeah. So we talked to Mike Epps at the we talked to him back before the show. I think we were talking to him in a bathroom when we were hanging out with him.
Yeah, was it Detroit or the next night?
The next night.
Yeah, the next night we were hanging out with him.
Then we asked him, man.
In Baltimore.
We asked him in Baltimore. I said, hey, man, fuck. I told him, fuck, Mike Epps. I don't know you fucking brought the fucking kangaroo on stage. That was fucking crazy, bro. Yeah, man, I know, man. PETA got on my ass.
PETA and them.
PETA and them. Had to take my video down.
Yeah, he said he took it down. And then he busted another little song and boom, 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 boom.
Are still talking shit to him.
Dude, leave it alone, dude. I just...
And then you look at the people talking shit, and then the people in the bottom, like his supporter, his fans, it seemed like you got one disaster after another. And we know Mike Epps. I mean, this guy is happy all the time.
Chilling,
man. Like, one of the most happiest guys in the world. And
Still balling.
And, man, that was crazy, though.
Yeah, I was tripping out that people would just go out of their way to, like, talk all that shit. But, like, what are they doing to help animals? That's all I
know.
I
what are
say.
You doing?
Just complaining, dog.
Complaining.
Everybody wants a platform, huh, fool?
I just have a coconut smile, man. We can't drink Pepsi no more, apparently. People got upset right away, huh?
Oh, my God. What's up with that, dude?
Well, what happened, bro, when you get a bunch of white people to talk about diversity together?
I was like, dude, oh, my God.
It's what it, what happens, bro, is that it's like sometimes, man, you got to throw in some colorful people, bro, in the advertisement agencies, bro, to let people know what's offensive and what's not.
Yeah, it's 2017, man.
Yeah, man.
That was like the most chill ride I've ever seen, dog.
If you're going to have somebody do give the cop a Pepsi, make sure it's none of the Kardashians.
That's probably what it was. Man.
Bring back somebody we love, like Jennifer Lawrence, you know, or or Meg Ryan. Somebody we love, bro. Somebody cute. Not somebody we hate every day.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Like the Kardashians, as popular as they are, you know, everybody hates them, but they tune in to watch that show.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. And is that shit still on?
Yes, it's on.
Yeah, because didn't Homegirl say she was going to cancel it after she got robbed in Paris?
Bro, she got robbed by a kangaroo.
Hopped away on her, dude.
But you ever watched the show?
I've watched it once at your house, and the only scene I've seen is Courtney's husband or that dude.
Fucking love that guy, dude.
Hey, here, I'll check out. Look how this fool doesn't give a shit. He's about to leave, dog. Oh, that's dude. It. That's all
that's
I've
the,
ever seen.
The only episode I ever saw was Kardashian's sister. I don't know her name, but her husband, he's like a millionaire, bro. He has lots of money. His fucking chick gets pregnant. This fool goes on a vacation, dog, with the boys to celebrate the new baby. This fool buys a grand piano. Doesn't even know how to play.
Who does it? That fool, dog. He looks like one of those douchebag fools, huh?
But there's one guy that I want to punch in the face.
Who?
It's Kim Kardashian's best friend, that dude. Just a leech, bro. A fucking leech.
A leech,
bro. This guy gets his face done, Botox. Bro, you're not even an actor. What are you trying to look cute for?
For the camera, dog. On the Kardashian show.
Oh, my God, dude.
Who is he? Like, just a homie from back in the day or what?
His name is Bruce. I don't know his name.
Bruce.
I wish we had time to look him up, but we don't have time for that. Some asshole.
Yeah, that's all he does is hang out?
All he does is hang out and goes to Kim Kardashian and smells her beautiful farts all day.
Oliendo pedos.
That's all he does, bro. Hey, I'm going shopping. I'll go with you. And he fucking carries her bags. And I remember when she was married to that other basketball player, he called him out like, what are you doing here? Are you gay? I take that offensive. I am her friend. But he didn't like that guy.
That's why?
Yeah.
He's all talking shit to
you know, I don't like a guy that's going to be hanging around my wife like that all the time, bro. Like, and not fuck her.
A leech, dog.
A leech, bro.
Damn, I don't even know who that dude is, man.
You don't want to know, man. Yeah, so the kangaroo, bro.
Kangaroos and Pepsis, dog. Controversial these days, huh?
Yeah, man. That's Mike Epps' kangaroo gate.
Damn, leave that man alone, dog.
Yeah, man. That's what, man, I like to stay out of people's radar, man. You know, like, I like to stay out of people's radar. Like, Louis C.K., he's very famous, you know, but he's out of people's radar. You know, there's no one's going to grab him and say his stuff offended me. He's out of people's radar. Oh, by the way, Louis C.K. special just came out on Netflix and also Dave Chappelle. And, man, bro, I got to say one of the best specials out there. And I don't critique comedy because it's not my job to critique other people's comedy because I wouldn't want my stand-up special to be critiqued by other comedians because when a comedian critiques your comedy special, he's really hating. Like, you shouldn't be, first of all, if you never had a special, you shouldn't comment on other people's special. So and with that saying, I think Gerard Carmichael's special is one of the most original comedy specials out there since Eddie Murphy, Delirious. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like, ha, 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 but it's very thought-provoking, very smart, and very original. if you, it's, it should, that, I think it should be, it might, it should be up there as a Grammy winning special. I mean, it's very original. It's shot the way a special should be, because a special should be special to the to the person giving out the special. Like, I would say Gerard Carmichael special, it's a special that was all his.
Homeboy came in original.
And it's directed by Bo Burnham, which you don't know him?
No, no, I don't know that.
He's this young comic that came out of nowhere on a YouTube for playing piano. Very funny guy, too.
Really?
He has one-liners. So he plays piano. He's good. So, yeah, man. I mean, his stand-up is very wordy, you know? It's like a lot of talk with jabs inside and out. But the way it started, it's just like no other, man, because you could tell, like, there's like a real, there's a lot of acting. He had a little cheery on his special. Are we going to be all right? Long pause. Are we going to be all right? I mean, are we? And then it just goes on, bro. He's wearing denim, like George Carlin. What do you think?
He's been chill the little first 5 minutes. I thought it was cool, man. The way he got shot, you know, he's a very chill dude, and the way he does his comedy. And one thing that I noticed, this is what I've noticed the last like 5, 6, 7, even 10 years, dude, that everybody's special is kind of like has the same formula, dog. That little intro, the little sketch, even the way that it's set up, dude. You know what I mean? And homeboy, like the place that he's shot at, it looks like a little palace or some shit. I don't know where it's at. He's really chill. The little circle, the way he's doing it, kind of reminded me of that one venue in Phoenix, but the smaller, more elegant version.
I think if he would have been more popular, Gerard Carmichael would have been more popular and more like a household name. He could have released that as a feature film.
Yeah, it has that feel.
Is that good?
Yeah. But I do think that brother's original, dude, and the way he's coming in, and it's just like not the way
that everybody's saying. Dude, you see how many comedians are bashing it?
Dude, this is what
I don't want to say names.
Right.
Shane Forbes.
You get shangry.
I can't believe, man, comedians are actually like bashing Dave Chappelle's special and going, I like Louis C.K.'s special, but I don't know about Dave Chappelle. And this is coming from a guy who has nothing.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, dude, motherfuckers, you haven't done shit, dog. And you're asked to be like a journalism on comedy, dude. On top of nobody giving a fuck, dude. It's their specials. They're doing what they want, and they have their audience, dog, and people love them. And fucking motherfucker, you got 27 likes on your bullshit, dog. The fuck out of here, dog. Seriously, I ain't shit. I'll keep my fucking mouth shut, dog. But it's like, fools act like fucking they're the voice of reason, fool.
I remember when that one special came out with that old comic. What's his name, bro? Something with King? He had the first HBO special.
HBO special.
He had the first HBO special, and not George Carlin.
Alan King.
Alan King! Yes. I remember his last HBO special. I was hanging out at the comedy store, and you were with me, bro.
He's one of the head guys of the Friars Club.
And we were blazing, and Joe Rogan said, man, if that special was on fire, I wouldn't pee on it. And he was wearing denim, too.
I remember.
Alan King, man. If you read his book, he had a little bit in his book when he was working at the Poconos, right?
The Poconos.
I was hosting at the Poconos. He goes, I was hacking to survive.
All right, dude. And for everyone doesn't get that, if you're a comedian, dog, fucking, you don't get it, dog.
You don't get it, man.
And I'm not about to elaborate on that shit. And one thing I want to tell you, when I first day hanging out with you, and it was El Catrín, me, you, and Vinny, you're already a made dude at the comedy store. Your name's been up there on the top even before I met you. But we used to kick out at the comedy store fucking at least once or twice a week. I mean, we would go there for the Christmas. You know, I always gave away my shirt and shit, but
people never forget that, man. But back in the days, Mitzi Shore used to have a little Christmas party for other comedians, and it was just a bunch of free food. And, dude, remember when... go ahead, man. Do you remember when... We were there at the Christmas party at the comedy store, and not that many people were there. And Pauly Shore came down and said, "Can you guys call more people? My mom is wondering how come no one's here."
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I know the pop
no
the
love
comedy store is all huge and stuff now or whatever. The Renaissance, whatever you want to call it. But those are the days when Joe Diaz was hosting those Sundays.
That's right, cocksucker.
Half empty rooms, you know. And remember time we've seen, like, you know, we've seen fucking Chris Rock go up. A lot of people, dude. And before it was all like fucking, you know, in the glitz it is now, whatever, I ate. But we used to kick it there, dog, and see a lot of shit on the sidelines, dog.
A lot
remember
of shit.
The Dice Man film? The VH1 show that he released a couple years ago, he filmed it back in those early 2000s, and that's when somebody was in his way. I forgot who the fuck it was, and he called him asshole face, and he went off on him. That dude got up and took off, dog. And those were the days where he used to go on stage and do like 3 hours, fool. Eddie Griffin, too.
The Dice, like, people don't know about getting bumped. I got bumped by the Dice Man, Eddie Griffin, Paul Farmer, all those fools. I don't know his real name.
No, I know who you're talking about.
What's his name?
I don't know, fool.
Paul Farmer, black guy, light-skinned guy.
No, fool, Freeze Love.
That's his name, yeah. Paul Farmer.
Yeah, his original name, his
Freeze
real name.
Freeze Love, yeah.
Yeah, his Christian name or whatever.
Dude, I didn't know Paul Farmer, Freeze Love was on the
5150 show?
The Man Show. What's that show called with Bob Odenkirk and...
Mr. Show. Yeah, dude.
He was the guy in prison. Like, he was a producer of the show from prison.
Yeah. He's done a lot of shit, fool. He's on Corey Holcomb's show now.
Yeah, he's to open up for Charlie Murphy.
Well,
he's a solid-ass comedian, bro.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Freeze Love, like, just like you, bro. You're a solid-ass comedian, too. Like, you know what it takes to be on stage, you know, whether it's to fucking hang out with me or, you know, open a couple of doors for people. I've done that too, you know. Held boxes for other people. I got no shame doing that. And then Freeze Love is just the same. Remember we saw him selling Charlie Murphy's merch?
Well, yeah, and that was in Houston. I took off that day. You and Keith Manning seen him, and that's when you guys said that motherfucker had an amazing hour. And word on the street that fool helped him construct that hour or whatever. But what you're getting to is that fool was featuring for him, but at the end of the show, this motherfucker was selling his merchandise. Like, you know what I mean? And that's what a lot of people think, that, like, you're just going to get up there and be the headliner. Everybody's going to be sucking your dick, and you're going to tell the whole world to fuck off. It's a long road, dog.
It's a long road, and it gets longer every year.
And that's the only reason that fool is on Corey Holcomb's show, because Corey Holcomb knows that fool's solid, dog.
Yeah, so Freeze Love was like doing killer shows for about over 2 years, a year working with Charlie Murphy, and he was second billing on the show. Like, it was Charlie Murphy with Paul Farmer, Freeze Love, and he was still selling his merch, bro.
Yeah, dude. And one thing I was going to tell you about opening up and all that stuff and getting bumped, remember when I first started hanging out with you, we'd go to the Laugh Factory when it was bumping, before even the Parking Lot Killer days, dog. Fucking Gilbert Escavel and fucking the Devil were hosting, fool. Paul Rodriguez will come in, and you would always give him your drink ticket, or he's all, what drink you want? Give me a Cutty and coffee. And you would get him his Cutty Shark with his coffee or whatever, and people were complaining about getting bumped. And this motherfucker said, hey, try getting bumped by Richard Pryor.
In Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, dude. And I was like, damn, you start thinking about that shit going fuck.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, dog. You know what I mean? Talking motherfuckers to want to say they paid dues, fool.
Yeah, man.
They didn't have a chance to pull out their money yet,
dog. I remember I was bumped by Freeze Love, bro. And then he even had the audacity to ask who was next. And I think some of y'all are Felipe. Oh, sorry, Felipe.
Yeah, dog.
And then, like, and then fools talk shit about fools that are nothing, talk shit about getting bumped. Like, I run into some guy at Dodger Stadium named Steven, I guess. He introduced himself. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, you know a guy named Bebos? I said, no, man, never heard of him. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, you took his place in Sunset a long time ago in 2013. I didn't even know. Cause I don't bump people, bro. And then still Flacco still talks about getting bumped by me at a whack ass club that Rudy Moreno had. I was supposed to go up. Suppose, dog.
Oh my god. And then he went up after, dog, and bombed.
And bombed. Was that my fault? You can't follow Kid from Kid and Play?
Oh my god. It's like a lot of people don't have thick skin, huh?
No, bro.
And even if you don't have it, you have to grow it, dog.
We got Generation X motherfuckers acting like millennials, bro. Dude, God. You're fucking 45, bro. You're not a millennial, bro.
Spoken like a true prodigy. God damn, dog.
I remember when Dane Cook would show up, and he was bumping people on purpose.
Oh, dude, I remember he bumped for the Latino night.
Ari Spears is going to show up? Let me go bump him.
I remember him setting up his little camera and going up, dude, pulling rank, dog.
Pulling rank.
Give him the little finger, dog.
And everybody who said, I am bigger than this place, is always gone.
Dude.
You're never bigger than anybody. Don't ever say that to anybody. If you ever get in a situation where you're going to get pulled to the side, don't ever say, I am bigger than this place. I am bigger than King Kong. No, man, you're not. That's why you're getting bumped.
Dude, it's crazy, dude. We've seen a lot of shit, you know?
Well, I deserve to go up.
Yeah, dog.
How was your room tonight, bro?
The last night was good. It had like 37 people there. Thank you very much for everybody that came out to Romano's in Riverside. But it's funny, man. Once you get a room, people start showing up, dude, talking about they want to headline the room and stuff. It's like, motherfucker, I haven't spoken to your ass in over fucking 8 years, dog. Yeah, never booked me, dog.
Don't you break that guitar by now, man.
You know what I mean? And it's like, talking about motherfuckers begging to get on stage, I have begged motherfuckers to get on stage and still got told in no. And then go, all right, we're going to give you 5 minutes. And you get lit at a fucking minute, dog. Straight get played, fool. But I mean, I never complain, fool.
So let's go back to that. Let's rewind back to that Comedy Store Christmas party.
All right.
What were you saying?
Oh, no, that we used to fucking, we kicked it there when fucking there was nobody there.
Nobody there.
Nobody fucking there, dog. Dude, Eleanor was a waitress. Joey Diaz's lady was a waitress, hooking up the drinks, remember?
Yeah.
Like, dude, those days, Joey Diaz would come in with his little beanie and the little boots undone.
No socks.
Yeah, he'd start bagging on him. Then I got the Mexican mafia over here fucking capping on me. Come on, Felipe.
A lot of people, too, took advantage of the place, too, back in the day. Like, I remember that comedian, the Todd. I don't know, the old comic, the Todd. He used to show with his dog, bro, and bring him in the OR. And I remember Amelia Martinez told me, yeah, man, the Todd wouldn't do that if Mitzi was here, bringing that dog inside the showroom. What's wrong with him?
I mean, yeah, you dropped a key name right there, Marilyn Martinez, dog. Back in the day when she was doing that fucking comedy that nobody was doing for a woman, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Before Lisa Lampanelli, dog.
Before all that.
Any of that shit, dude. She was out there fucking laying it down like a soldier, her and Joe Diaz, dude. Remember?
Yeah.
When they were teaching Rick Ramos the ropes, fool, showing him the Latino rooms and all that.
She had that joke talking about, I just lost 60 pounds, so I shaved my bush.
And got this ring from sucking cock.
She goes, I wish I had a penis so I could shove it in some guy's mouth.
Yeah, man. Old school shit, fool.
Yeah, man. So what's up, fool?
Chilling, dog.
What we got this weekend?
Got Albuquerque, which is tonight. Tomorrow's going to be Norfolk, Virginia. Thursday was Hermosa, dude.
Hermosa. That was fun.
Yeah, dude. That shit was fucking fantastic, as always, dog.
Yeah, man. I talked to Joe Diaz yesterday.
How's he doing, bro?
He's doing good. I told him about my flu. He said, you got to stop smoking with fucking strangers, cocksucker.
Yeah, dude. That fool's always said it, dog. He can't smoke with. He doesn't smoke with nobody no more, dog.
I didn't know that. He said he don't smoke with no strangers.
You get sick like that. You get a little hurt from that shit, dude. The fuck knows what else you can catch, dude. Pink eye, all types of shit.
He said that's how Ralphie May got sent to the hospital.
What do you end up getting, fool?
Bronchitis or something.
Oh, fuck that, dude. I say, and dude, I tell you sometimes, and I don't say it like, I don't want to be like, I don't want to be arrogant that I can't smoke with nobody like that, or I don't like smoking shitty weed. But, dude, seriously, it gets too much, and we can't get that time
back. I'm done, too, man. Anybody out there, man, you got to come to our shows. We're not going to smoke with you no more. So if you guys want to be nice and just give it to us, we'll gladly take it. But no way my lips are going to touch your joint.
That or their pipes, all shit.
That or just show me a medical card, bro. Take a health test or something. Oh, I don't want to give you something.
Yeah, there you go, dude. Right back.
We
got to
throw this microphone after we're done. Look, I'm fucking sweating, bro. Look at this.
You're letting out those toxins.
I got tit sweat, dog. That's funny. I wrote a joke earlier about how to avoid getting tit sweat when you're fat. Just walking like a superhero all day.
I fucking work on that posture, dog.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, dude. What house is cracking, fool?
You ever gotten sick, though, right away after smoking?
I've gotten sick about a day or two after smoking, dude.
I got a cold sore, bro.
On a couple occasions. Dude, Vinny
From that fucking metal pipe.
Yeah, well, Vinny was saying that shit back in the day when he used to be going on tour and shit. They'll be hitting people's pipes, smoking weed. Motherfucker end up with a cold sore, dude, 2-3 days later, dog.
That's what Joey told me. He goes, I don't even trust myself. He goes, He said he cleans out his bong every week.
Yeah, dude, all that fucking water that sits in there, fuck around and get like fucking West Nile or some shit if you don't clean out your bong water.
Shit, I haven't smoked in 3 days, bro.
Yeah, fucking have a mosquito down there and get the fucking Zika, fool.
Haven't smoked in 3 days, bro, and
How do you feel?
I feel good, man. I didn't want to smoke when I had the flu because I don't want to get paranoid, dog. Because I smoked one time when I had the flu, and I thought I dreamed that I was dying of AIDS, dog.
Fool, you're fucking crazy.
For real, that was sweating. I had a dream that was inside somebody's trunk, and this is how I was sweating the whole time.
You got all claustrophobic and shit. Yeah, it's because fucking dude, your body's going through some shit, dog.
I don't even have the energy to masturbate, bro.
You were really sick, huh, dog?
I was sick, bro.
Ah, dude. No, it sucks being sick, dude. I was sick fucking a couple months back, dog. To the fucking curb sick.
I can't be sick. I think he was sick too for a while, right?
Aaron,
you were sick? No?
Fucking like clean bill of health over here, dog. As healthy as an ox.
So I've been drinking a lot of liquids, bro. A lot of water. I took a Tylenol. But man, I was discombobulated.
But and the other thing too, dog, you have your house and everything. You got your little medications you're taking. Some people die from the flu, dog. Motherfuckers die from diarrhea in other parts of the world, dog. I'm not fucking with you, dog. You're all looking at. I know it's a bunch of crazy, stupid
Put
shit.
Put a plug on it.
No, dog. But yeah, fool, you get all dehydrated and shit. People ain't got resources for clean water. Come on, fool.
Fool, I remember being at the emergency room in Queen of Angels right here in Silver Lake. Mm-hmm. And and it's a sad thing to be there. There was a bunch of people there, like people that were stab wound. But I think my son had a broken arm or something. But there was this old-ass lady who had diarrhea, bro. All right? And she said, I need help. And she fucking took a diarrhea dump like right there in the waiting room, bro.
Let it out, dog.
And this dirty-ass homeless guy that was there for something else, just give her the plug. Fucking winos are funny.
Oh, dude. That's timing perfect.
Winos have the perfect timing, man.
Oh, my God, dude. Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Because back then, the commercial was on for the plug, I guess. You go, just plug it up.
Bitch, I might be homeless, but I got diarrhea.
She goes, give her a plug. Plug it up.
Did you die, fool?
I died, bro.
Oh, my God, dog.
But that lady was gross, bro. She did that shit just run out within the waiting room, bro.
Dude, I've had diarrhea. Sometimes you can't, but it's like, dude, I don't give a shit. I'll shove something in there, dude. I ain't shitting in public like that.
You know what it felt like to be that sick, man, and sleeping all day? It felt like I felt the same way I felt when I would come back from a 5-day crack binge.
All worn out.
Oh my God, dude! That's the only thing that kept going in my head. Like, how did I live like that? You know, why am I still alive? Like, okay, the first night, well, it will start off after Wild Coyotes. I get to $160, and go straight to the crackhead house, and then from there, I would buy like $100 of crack. A lot of crack for $100, bro. And then I start smoking that shit, bro. Then it just leaves. Then more. Another hundred. Then by the fifth day, man, oh my God. I'm like a zombie, bro. And we're falling asleep around 5 a.m. and waking up at 8:00 p.m. And I'm still sleepy, dog. So I go back to sleep. And I don't wake up till the next day at noon.
Yeah, you got to get your body back to normal, dog.
And then I had cramps all over my body from doing that one long sit-up.
Oh, you told me that funny-ass story one time that you were just chilling like this one day, like, you know, like, just in that pose from, like, drinking and hanging out. And then you got back home after your resting that you were super sore. You couldn't even go back down. It hurt so much.
Yeah, because I was sitting down like this, like, you know, sitting down. Not a feeble position, but like a person sitting down who's chubby. When your chest rests on your stomach.
Video game.
Like you sit down to play video game, that position. Imagine being in that position for, 36 hours just smoking crack and drinking beer. And then when I finally got up, it's just like I did the longest sit-up. painful, man.
Oh, dude, I bet. Especially when you're there for hours, dog.
It was horrible. So that's how I felt the whole time, man. I was having nightmares.
Yeah, dude. It's probably like, almost not close to hallucinating, but, you don't have that much food in your system. You got all that. Your body's tired. It's stinking. And you're like, what the fuck? You're sick.
Luckily, my rabbit was there to help me.
What's that little fool doing, dude? What's she doing?
Just chilling, bro. Being a rabbit.
You guys been through a lot together, huh?
Hell yeah, bro. I helped her through her sickness. So this chick on Instagram hit me up.
Oh, shit.
She's trying to give me 2 rabbits to rescue. 2 dwarf rabbits.
What do you think? Are you going to do it or what?
Bro, I don't think those rabbits are dwarf rabbits because I haven't seen the mama rabbit yet.
You want more evidence?
So she goes, guess what? We have another litter, she said. So those 2 dwarf rabbits you were trying to give me had babies, dog. Like, come on, man. You can't have that many fucking rabbits. Those babies were just born, 6-8 months ago? And now they're having babies already because, rabbits multiply.
Teen pregnancy over here, dog.
They're cool little white rabbits, but they're like little pandas.
All spotted.
I was gonna, at least I already named them, too.
Oh.
They're called La Puente Bad Boys. Because they live in La Puente.
Oh, dude.
So these 2 rabbits, we would have called them La Puente Bad Boys. Their first name would have been Nadags.
You had to get them some little leather jackets for Christmas, though.
I was, bro. Little leather jackets with studs. Asking questions.
Some little boots. Oh, my God. So you guys, you don't know yet if you're going to get them?
We don't know where we're going to get them, man. Right now, Lisa looking for a house, somewhere to live. We need a new place to dirty.
That's funny.
A lot of houses are expensive, man.
Hell yeah, especially now.
Everything in Glendale is $770,000.
Cha-ching, dog.
You gotta move to fucking Lancaster just to have a decent home.
Who said Lancaster, dog? The high desert, dog.
Northridge, fool. Northridge.
That's still a trek from here, but still the valley, right?
I keep thinking like these places are so far from everywhere, but I asked myself. Far from where, asshole? Where do you work?
20-minute drive, no traffic.
I don't. But then it's Northridge is probably closer to the airport than Glendale.
Yeah, you can hit it right there from the 405.
36 minutes. It says 36 minutes. Oh, it's traffic, you know?
Yeah, but all the congestion here with the 110 and the 5 and the 101, that's where it gets crazy, dog. Stupid, dog.
Crazy, man. So I watched The Big Short again.
The film about the... what's it called? The bank, what was the crisis called?
The real estate market crash.
Yeah. Christian Bale, right?
Christian Bale, Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is probably my favorite actor, bro.
Yeah, fool?
Very underrated. Very underrated because he's so good looking, but he's a good actor, bro.
Dude, that fool was bad in Glorious Bastards, dog.
Really, dog? You like that shitty accent? I hated that.
Nah, he didn't like that,
fool? I think that's probably his worst ever in that movie, bro.
The other one I like him in when he plays that stoner in
California?
No, dude. I can't. God, Quentin Tarantino wrote it, dog.
True Romance.
True Romance, fool.
Oh, yeah, he's a good movie.
Yeah, that was the first real stoner I saw.
Don't try to condescend me, man. I'll fucking kill you. Lance,
dude.
He was good in that, and he's good in, what's that movie I saw? Of course, Crash. He plays that, he plays that fucking gypsy fool in Crash.
Snatch.
I'm all wrong here.
What else, dude? He's a badass actor, dog.
A lot of good movies, bro.
Can't hate on that fool.
I was bored, bro. I started watching a bunch of movies, bro. I saw No Country for Old Men. I think I saw that movie 3 times in 5 days.
Javier Bardem.
He's a fucking badass movie, man. When he walks up to that guy in a gas station, what's the most you ever lost in a coin toss? What you say there, huh? You hard of hearing, friendo? But that's like guessing, like, why were they fucking with the old man? Because the old man asked him, are you getting any rain where you're coming from? What is it to you where I'm coming from? He was coming because he knew he was from Dallas. So right away, there's a lead. They could follow him back. Like if a cop were to ask the gas station man, Did you see a guy with the worst haircut in the whole wide world come in here with a fucking exterminator, with a fucking gas tank? Where was he coming from? He was coming from Dallas. So he asked him, man, what's the most he ever lost in a coin toss? I don't know. So he goes, you seen that part, right?
Yeah, yeah. I only seen that movie once at the theater.
Oh, you gotta see it 1,000 times, bro. So you gotta really enjoy, when you wanna enjoy the Coen Brothers movies, bro.
That's one.
You gotta watch them over and over because you miss pieces every time you watch it. Like Raising Arizona, a badass movie, bro. You never seen it?
I seen it when I was a little kid, dude. John Goodman's
in it. You know what else I saw over and over again this week? Burn After Reading. That's the movie where Brad Pitt is badass.
Yeah, when he plays at the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Hard Bodies.
What's his name kills him, fool? That dude, that shit threw me off, dog. When they're in there trying to find out if, you know, when she's getting a divorce and all that shit. Oh, I felt so bad for that fool, dog.
Okay, George Clooney, the horny ass.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay.
Hello there.
Dude, okay, dude. All right, fools that cheat, whatever, they're getting their shit on, dude. But how was this motherfucker, dog, when he found out his lady was cheating on him and he was building her that sex
like
machine?
Like Big Dog, bro.
He fucked that machine up. Oh, my. I was like, I kind of felt sorry for that fool, but then I was pissed because he killed Brad Pitt, dog.
No, he got depressed. He goes, come home. I miss you, baby.
I'm like, dude, that guy got fucking, he became a beggar, huh, fool?
But see the way they just burned that body, dog?
Oh, dude. Well, dude, that's the CIA thing, you know, the old man from Juno and he's in Whiplash. Like, I was like, dude, people are just disposable to those fools, huh, fool?
They are, man.
Hey, you ain't shit, fool, huh?
Osborne Cox, bro, fucking analyst.
Yeah, dude.
I like when he's a good actor, too, huh?
Oh, that motherfucker's
he
bad,
came out
dude.
Of nowhere, huh?
Yeah, dog.
I have a drinking problem? You're a Mormon. Compared to you, everybody has a drinking problem. What is this? What is this? This is a crucifixion. Whose ass didn't I kiss?
Oh, dude. Homeboy just fucking snapping, dude.
He fucking just left like that, bro. Left without benefits. His fucking whatever 4K he had. They were going to give him a state job. Then he goes back to his wife. He goes, what happened? You just left without no benefits? Yeah. I figure I don't deserve their shit. Oh, so my benefits are good enough, huh? That wife was a bitch, huh? No,
well, that's what I was going to say. That fucking lady was fucking mean, dude. And homeboy just wanted to be a writer, right? Or, dude, fucking.
By the way, people, we're talking about Burn After Reading. It's a movie. Rent
it. Yeah, and people said that movie sucked, I remember, because I rented it. I think I Redboxed it, dude. I thought it was fucking cool. I felt fucked.
That movie was fucking amazing, bro.
Yeah, dog. In a Coen Brother movie.
Coen Brother movie.
Yeah, dude.
It was so badass because it just flowed really good. And George Clooney is amazing in that movie, bro, because, man, he's always like, when he's telling him, is that shellfish? Because I get allergic to shellfish. Then he grabbed the toothpick, the fucking chopstick from the woman. He goes, you live once, huh? Like, fuck it. You can't wear a condom all the time.
He's super smooth, dog.
You know who else is in it, too?
Who, fool? Because Osborne Cox was Malkovich, right?
We talked about this guy the last time. He's in this movie. Fucking shit. The guy, Sledgehammer, bro. The actor.
Oh, that fool is in the CIA.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the other guy. He goes up to the bald guy. Yeah. What are we going to do with these files? Like, that's okay. Yeah, yeah. Fucking Sledgehammer, huh?
And looks
after
the same,
these
bro.
Years, dog. Still grinding, dog.
Yeah, and in the old man actor. Too from 6 Feet Under is in it too. The old man, he's a good actor. They're all good actors.
Yeah, dude. He's in the old man, the bald one you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's in Step Brothers, fool. He plays a dad, huh?
Yeah.
He's like, how about if you know your wife wants to fuck the young cat? Shut the fuck up. John C. Reilly.
Fucking
oh,
awesome movie, huh?
Oh, dude, that shit is hilarious.
I could watch Burn After Reading again.
Yeah, it's a badass movie.
And Big Lebowski, man.
Oh, yeah.
Another Coen Brother movie, which I walked out on the first time I saw it.
Why? For what did
that
he
was mean? Ivan, bro.
Ivan doesn't give shit a chance, huh?
No, bro. He wanted to leave 20 minutes in, so we left. But then we rented the movie. No, we bought it. And we bought it. We started El Paso over and over.
Yeah, dude.
That's another good movie. No, man. The one that I didn't like was True Grit.
Why, fool?
Just didn't like it.
And you're talking about the remake.
Yeah.
With the what's his name? Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
Who else was in that movie? The dude from The Goonies, dog. Yeah. The big brother. I forget his name. But you didn't like that movie? I thought it was all right. Whatever. Just another movie, you know what I mean? You just see it and whatever.
Well, I didn't understand in that movie, No Country for Old Men, is the conversation with the main actor. What's his name?
Josh Brolin.
Josh, that's what I was talking about.
Josh Brolin. And, man, he really fucked things over for himself, huh?
I only seen it once, and I seen it at the theater, but who else is in it? What's his name?
Woody Harrelson.
Harrelson, Tommy Lee Jones, right?
Tommy Lee Jones. And then that his wife, I don't know his wife's name in the movie, but she's a good actress, bro. You know, she's Scottish.
Really?
Yeah, she was in Trainspotting. She was a little girl that gets party with them. And she's in that show Boardwalk.
Oh, Boardwalk Empire?
Boardwalk Empire. She's Scottish.
Oh, dude.
She's a good actress, bro.
Well, I was going to tell you right now, just because you brought up Boardwalk Empire, that one dude that plays Mr. Green on The Night Before, he's on that show, too. That fool's a badass actor, dog.
He is.
Dude, that fool's bad, dog.
Badass actor.
Yeah, dude. He's another one of those fools.
No, at the end of the movie, Tommy Lee Jones and the old man, when they're talking together, and that old man had that old-ass coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're just talking about he's feeling retired from being a cop and all that shit. It's weird, huh?
What was he in the end? I didn't tie it together, dude. What was homeboy doing? Javier Bardem, was he a hitman?
You're the hitman, bro.
For who?
For the guy he killed in that office. The guy he killed in the office.
And he was over it or what? Or that guy that owed him?
He was pissed off. First of all, he was pissed off that they sent another crew. Like he said, why you hire another person when you already hired the best? So he took that as offensive.
Like an insult and shit?
Yeah.
And in the end, like, what, Tommy Lee Jones, like, who gets killed, Tommy Lee Jones or Brolin?
Brolin.
All right, and why, though?
He gets killed by the Mexicans.
Because you said he really fucked shit up for himself. What was he doing? He was crooked or what?
He could have left that fucking money alone, bro.
He got greedy, huh?
He got greedy. He could have just opened that case of money and found the disposer, whatever that is, the little thing. Beep, 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 beep.
The transponder.
Transponder.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't do that, bro. You know, he's a dumb redneck, bro. And then Anthony Bourdain, you know, he told him, Anton Chigurh, you know how this is going to end, right? He gave him a chance, you know, he goes, bring me the money. You know, I'm not going to save your life, but I'll save your wife's life. Man, the way he went after him, bro, he was straight up, they took a little page off the Terminator, bro, Terminator 1. Remember Terminator 1, how he went through her phone bill to find out where she's at?
Damn, dude. Old school detective
and
work.
So did Anton Chigurh, bro. He found out where all the phone calls were made and went to go look for her in Odessa. But the best scene in that movie, bro, is when Anton Chigurh goes in. She goes in to the fucking manager of the trailer park, the fat lady, and goes, you know where Luann works? We're not allowed to give out the information, sir. Do you know where he works? Sir, we are not allowed to give that information. He just starts mad dogging her, bro. And she's the only person that he didn't kill. But plus, there was a guy taking a shit in the same room, though.
I want to go see that movie right now, then.
Go see it, dog.
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, dude.
Cow prodder.
To the head, dude.
To the head. And he tells, and then it's sad, bro. I keep thinking about that part when he kills, when he's like, he's trying to find an airport and he meets up with that guy with the chicken coop in his truck and he's talking about it and he's asking him, what's the nearest airport around here? I don't know. Where you want to go? He goes, I just want to know where the nearest airport. Oh, just flying out anywhere, huh? Out of the blue. I ain't been there, brother. And then he asked him, how long does it take to take all these chickens out of the truck? What?
That's what you get for being a wise guy.
It's a lot of movies, they really promote guns, man. Like, they really, really promote guns and gun sales because I know that I would love to have a sawed-off shotgun with a silencer. And for what? Who am I going to kill? Nobody. But I want to have one.
Because it looks bad.
It looks badass, dog.
How else are you going to get somebody to do something they don't want to do, dog, if you're not their mom and dad? Grab a gun, dog. Turn a motherfucker into a slave, dog.
You know, when I went to Del Rio, Texas, because I performed in Del Rio, Texas, I was trying to find that hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys didn't have any luck?
No luck, but it was all shot in that same shitty town.
That's crazy, dog. And what, all right, No Country for Old Men, what's that? What's the movie about in the end? Like, what's it mean?
It just means that, I don't know what it means, though.
Because I remember a thing where, Tommy Lee Jones, he went out in the dark, and like, it was like, what was that, a fucking ghost? What was fucking with that dude?
No, he knew. He knew he was following that guy. He knew that he was following him. He knew he was close, but he didn't want to get too close.
Because he didn't want to die?
He didn't want to die. Like, he knew when he went into that room that Anton was in there, but he didn't pursue it. He didn't want to. He knew. He was outgunned, outmanned, outsmart. He was an old man. No country for an old man. And he goes, and then the old guy at the end of the movie tells him, you know, you think the world's going to change because you're changing now. The world's going to keep rolling.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Right or wrong, Aaron?
Yeah, I always understood it to mean, like, No Country for Old Men, because it was like a new level of brutality.
Hardcore brutality.
Yeah. Because it takes place in like 1980 or whatever.
85.
So yeah, they're like, they're used to the old, stick them up and all that shit. But it's like, no.
Yeah, because Javier Bardem came in there cold with that little thing, huh? Yeah.
Cold, bro.
I was going, fuck, just dropping.
And it was about the same time here in LA, too, when they were switching from 38s to 9mm. Everybody had 38s. Remember that bank robbery in North Hollywood?
Yeah.
How those guys came in with Uzis and fucking armor, and the fucking LAPD did not have enough gun power for those guys. They had to go to the fucking gun shop and get real guns because they didn't have any.
Yeah, dude.
And that was the beginning of militarizing cops.
Yeah, no, you're right, dude.
The cops were not ready for like this kind of bullshit. Bro.
Outgunned, dog.
How are you going to go? You have a 38, but everybody in the hood has Uzis, dog.
Dude, taking your ass out, dog.
No Country for Old Men.
Crazy, man.
You know how this is going to end, right? What's your favorite movie, bro?
My favorite movie? Oh, dude.
One of you, it's playing right now. You'll watch it.
I like There Will Be Blood, dog.
I like that movie, too, man.
Because I like... All right, one thing I like about it is how Homeboy came up and how he lied and all that shit, but also, like, to the extent that this fool was gonna not giving a fuck about the guy that he used that was his little kid, that wasn't his little kid, and he told him to go fuck off in the end and why he used him. And then to the son that became a preacher that tried to come back. Hey, they got outsmart, whatever, but like a snake, and, like, tried to extort him for money, and he beat the shit out of him and killed him with a bowling pin. Also, too, where that guy tried to come into his life and act like he was his long-lost brother, and that fool just buried that fool.
Buried that
fool. So to me, it was also, too, like, example of how, like, America was built, dog. I mean?
I think my favorite movie has to be Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah? You like,
fuck yeah.
Talking about that director the other day.
Wes Anderson. I could watch all his movies.
Well, I remember you showed me the video where you're showing us a video of Buster Keaton and
Moonrise Kingdom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How he...
That's a good video.
Dude.
You guys want to watch a good video on YouTube? It's only 10 minutes long. Watch Wes Anderson. Just go on YouTube and look up Wes Anderson and Buster Keaton. And it'll show you, like, the way Buster Keaton did his movies in the silent era. Like, he'll show you the movie. Because back then, a movie had to be in the silent films. They would use, like, over 250 cards to tell a story. Like, they'll pause the movie and they'll tell you, like, a little story, little words that say title cards. They're called title cards that'll say, and then she said, take me out to the ball game. So, and then the movie will continue.
Little
so
scene.
Buster Keaton, he did a movie with no title cards.
Straight
he wanted to show
picture.
The motion picture and show all the action. And Wes Anderson takes a lot from Buster Keaton.
I was just surprised at, like, the physicality aspect of it. I was like, dude, you don't, like, doing comedy scenes, fool. That was truly tripping me out. And I was like, God damn, dude. Even from back then till now, dog.
And you know, all those Keystone cops, bro, they were paid nothing. Nothing. And they were breaking ankles, falling down. It was before SAG, before AFTRA.
And that's why you have those unions though, right?
And they were working all day.
Oh, dude, probably 16-hour days, dog.
Yeah, man. Buster Keaton was director, producer, stuntman with all his movies.
Damn. And also the shots, too. Remember that one where he's taking off in the back of the car, the front, and then the back shot? And it was crazy, dude. I was like, dude, just shit that you don't even think of, dude, you know?
That's right, fool. What's up, fool? Yeah. Just the two of us today. Rodrigo Torres, what's coming up? What you got?
Dude, the show that we have on Wednesday in Riverside at Romano's, every Wednesday, please come out. Downtown Riverside starts at 7:30. And yeah, man, we'll have different comics once a week.
What's up, fool? Awesome, man. Everybody, go to the All Things Comedy page and watch or listen to all the podcasts. There's a lot of podcasts out there on All Things Comedy. We just got a new studio. They're about to do big things. Bert Kreischer has had the cooking show now.
Hell yeah, they were filming
with
that.
With Bill Burr, and everything's happening. Money's coming in. We're on Audio Boom.
Yeah.
We might have an ad, bro.
Really?
With Audio Boom.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I don't have it right now, but yeah, we got one. Oh, shakes, bro. They're going to give us shakes, but you're going to take them all. And yeah, man, so thank you very much for listening. Shout out to Aaron here for the speaking up with the knowledge man over here.
From baseball to film.
Baseball to film, bro. He's over here quick with the phone.
Yeah, man.
What's up, fool? Oh, man, back to the kangaroo.
What happened, fool?
Hope he's all right.
Dude,
if you want to find those pictures of Darwin the kangaroo, it's kind of like, this guy takes the fuck, I don't know about you, I don't know. I'll never invite a kangaroo to my daughter's birthday party.
Dude, what if he kicks a kid to the neighbor's house, dog? Dude, imagine, fool. Oh, that fool has some strong-ass hind legs.
Yeah.
Dude, your bunny hops all crazy, dude. Imagine that big old fool.
Yeah, my bunny has big feet.
Yeah, dude, you can hear the little stomps.
When she gets mad, it's weird. Like when a bunny is, it gets pissed off, she stomps, and it sounds just like that. And I remember Lisa brought the bunny to the bed, and she was running around. But after a while, she gets tired of being on that bed, bro. She started stomping.
She wants to be on regular floor,
fuck
like
yeah,
hard surfaces. Damn, dude.
What's that? She got pissed off and she stomped on Lisa's leg, dog.
Did it hurt?
Fuck yeah.
Oh my, dude, they had strong, dude, that one day she hopped, I was like, God damn, dude. I mean, you can see a little bunny hop or whatever, but I didn't know they hopped that far in that.
Try getting stumped by a fucking kangaroo.
Oh my God, dude, they will fuck you up.
What's up, fool? See you guys next time, or hear you guys next time. Yeah, we should take the podcast on the road, bro. Try to talk to Mike Epps. Ask him about the kangaroo.
Dude, I just go like go a half hour early and just set up and just, you know, hit him up.
We got to talk to TC, bro. A lot of history he told us last time.
Oh, yeah. He would drop it 10 minutes just on, you know, back in New York and all the days and history of Mike Epps, too, dude.
Yeah, man. What's up, fool? Right,